That. If you're a first-time guest, thank you so much for being here. We want to give you a huge round of applause. Thank you for coming and being our guest. If you're watching on the internet, thank you so much for tuning in. We're so excited to be here. I am Pastor Judd, and this is the kickoff of our two-week sermon series called Friends. Because we're kicking off with friends, I wanted to make us all friendly. Dun, dun, dun. So I actually like jokes. So you guys got a custom last week for At the Movies, seeing some movie clips. So I want to show you guys some slides. When I have a bad day, I look at church signs out front to have a laugh. So let's cue the first one up. Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want us to meet him soon. Man, I am amazed. And maybe because I'm a dad now. All these people, and some of them may be you, on 274. You're driving a 2,000-pound weapon. Put the cell phone down, please. Next, please. Now is a good time to visit our pastor's on vacation. Ooh, did he know that before he left? Wow, yes, Pastor Craig actually did see this before I did this. No, we're not telling you anything. We love Pastor Craig. But man, that's a rough day. Imagine you get back and see that. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be back. Man, next, please. Oh, yeah, I love this one. Keep using my name in vain. I'll make rush hour longer. God. Again, if you drive 274 back and forth through Charlotte, and that's you doing this, we'll talk after service. Man, that's rough. Next, please. Adam and Eve, the first people to not read the Apple terms and conditions. My goodness. Yes, I have an iPhone and a MacBook in about every 3 weeks. It tells me 29 pages now. No, I don't read it. Yes, I hit click and next. Man, I hope someone doesn't show up at my front door and say, hey, you gave us your wife. What? No, those things are crazy. And poor Adam, poor Adam, poor Adam. And last but not least, if you don't love Jesus and root for Bama, you'll all burn. Roll Tide. Yes, it's that time of the year again where Alabama is getting ready to beat our distant, unloved cousins, the Auburn Tigers. Roll Tide. Thank you very much. Oh, I heard that cuss word out there. We'll talk afterwards. I'm kidding. So let's jump in to friendship because now we're all friends. John 15, 13 through 14. These are the words of Jesus. Greater love has no one. Then he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, Jesus was saying these words, church, as he was getting ready to die for our sins. He truly was getting ready to die, to lay down his life in the ultimate sacrifice. Now, God may not be calling you to be a martyr. He may not. But and however, he may be calling you to lay something down in your life. Maybe it's a want. Maybe it's a desire. Maybe it's giving of your time a little bit because he's asking you to follow him, or he's asking you to love somebody enough that you would give up those things for them. The last church I was at, we knew a young lady that from the age of 14, she had been saving up for a car. She had her dream car in her mind. And she'd been saving up for it, saving up for it, saving up for it. This is not pastor talk. She had the money she needed. She had picked out the car, all this kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit grabbed her heart and said, that money that you've been saving up, I want you to give it for something in the ministry and not buy that car. That was a heck of a sacrifice for her, and she did that. See, following Christ, laying down our lives, means you may be called for that. Your comfort may be outside of your comfort zone. Remember, Jesus said, foxes have their dens and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You're not called to be comfortable, especially when you're called to love your friends. Your time, your money, your perceived status, what is it God is calling us, calling me, calling all of us to give up for him? Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I want to set the stage for something. God doesn't need us. A famous pastor said this: the Father loved the Son loved the Father, and the energy between the two of them was the Holy Spirit. The triune God, the Trinity, it was perfect, it was right. God didn't need anything else besides that, but he decided to create us. He created us in his own image, created this world, put us on it, and then he didn't just go, okay, good luck to you guys, I'm gonna step back, have at thee. Oh, what's happening? No. He wanted a relationship with us. The Bible actually said in the cool of the evening, the Spirit of God walked with the man. God has always been about having a relationship with us. And being friends to people means you get to have a relationship with them. One of our five core values here at CTK Church is relationships. We value relationships. Why do we value relationships? Because we want you to have friends. We want you to have people in your life that love you, that you love them, and that you are in community with. Because God's been in community with us. If you're not in a small group, you're missing so much right now. There's so much you can be involved in by connecting with somebody, letting them have windows into your life and into your heart, and you doing the same thing with them. It's a powerful thing to be a friend with somebody. Proverbs 18:24, because I want to change things a little bit, because some of us may have family, some of us may have friends, and how do those kind of intermingle? Proverbs 18:24. Before I say this, I want to do a little teaching real quick. This is a hermeneutical, yes, that's a big, big word from Bible college, a hermeneutical conundrum. There's something called eisegeting and exegeting. Exegeting is very, 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 very good. That is where you allow the Bible in that hermeneutic to interpret itself. Eisegeting is very, 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 very bad. That's where you take God's word, which a lot of people have done recently, and just will grab a scripture or say, well, I feel that the scripture says this, and run with it. That's very wrong. Exegesis, very good. Eisegete, very bad. I'm going to exegete the scripture, and then for the sake of this sermon, I'm going to eisegete, so I want to make it very clear. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay, exegeting, that is a prophetic declaration to the Holy Spirit. He is closer than a brother. He's with you. He's always there. For the sake of this sermon, the eisegete is, we're going to say that Solomon is actually talking about an actual person, a brother. With that in mind, I'm an only child. So as an only child, I like to just grab people and say, hey, guess what? You're family. God was really cool with that. And I have a best friend that I've been friends with for over 21 years. His name is Michael Wiggins. And it's ironic how God has, and I want to explain this too, there are two characters from the Old Testament. Jonathan, he was the son of Saul, and David, the man that God had ordained to be king. Jonathan and David had a friendship. The Bible actually says the Lord knitted them together at their hearts. They were that close. They were just great friends. Jonathan even recognized that David was the one to be king. Michael's words about his and my friendship, he says, Judd, our friendship is like Jonathan and David. God's knitted our hearts together. Michael's very, very special to me. He's very close. He's closer than a brother. The only person that's closer to me than Michael is my wife. He knows everything about me. See, God created that friendship with me that is lifelong and lifelong with Michael as a part of his aspect in love for me. See, we know everything about each other. That's the depth of that friendship. We can talk to each other and not even use words. It's that close. Even though we're 3 hours away, we talk 4 or 5 times a week. And even if my mom and dad are watching this, if something terrible in my life happens, I call Mike before I call anybody else. We're that close. See, God wants us to have those friendships. Sometimes it's not within your family. Let me say that again. Sometimes it's not within your family. I know only child up here talking to you guys about this. You might say, I'm really close to my brother. I'm really close to you. That's awesome. But family sometimes can be difficult. I heard a couple of laughs and I saw a couple of, yeah, I kind of want to agree with him. I kind of don't. Look, Jesus actually had to deal with that as well. No, he did. He did. Let's look at Mark 3:33, and I'm going to break this down for a second, okay? But Jesus replied, who are my mother and my brothers? So you're like, okay, that's an interesting scripture. What are you talking about? Let me go before this, okay? Jesus had turned water into wine. He had done some miracles. His earthly family, Mary and his earthly brothers, oh, they were cool with that. Yeah, here's our brother. Watch him. He can do all these cool tricks. They were fine with that. But then Jesus started doing something else. He started talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus started talking about heavenly things. He started talking about why he was sent to earth. And his family freaked out on him. Okay, what's happening here is Jesus is in another town. He's preaching about the kingdom. He's talking to them. And his mom and brothers show up and are going, send him out to us. He's crazy. Bring him out now. He's talking about kingdoms and talking about this. Bring him to us. And he's saying, who actually are my mother? Who are my brothers? Those I'm in this room with, you're my family. You may be sitting here right now going, I love Thanksgiving. I love this time of year. I love Christmas. But man, Uncle Ned's coming into town. Oh, Uncle Ned, you just know. Will it be 5 minutes into him walking through the door, or will it be 3 hours into it when he goes, so how about them politics? And you go, oh, man. Or maybe it's Great Aunt Gertrude who smokes down 5 packs of cigarettes and doesn't understand we don't smoke in this house. And she's coming in, and she's going to smell like a chimney and leave like a chimney. And you're going, God, this is my family. Help me. Guess what? Jesus dealt with that too. He dealt with that too, and he had to deal with it because he understands. I am from Alabama, so I'll make this joke. You can't, but I will. If Jesus was not in Jerusalem and Judea and those places, if he had been born in South Alabama, this is how my mind sees his family acting toward him, okay? They probably would have done something like this. Man, he's gone crazy. I don't know what's wrong with him. I ain't never seen him eat collard greens. I never seen him go to no monster truck rally. And he don't like sweet tea. There's something wrong with this boy. Jesus dealt with that. Jesus dealt with that because he struggled with everything you and I struggle with. C.S. Lewis, who's another guy that I love his quotes, and this is a paraphrase. C.S. Lewis said this, friendship is the least necessity of our love. Friendship is the only love that is absolutely deliberate. Think about this. You can be born into a family, and yes, you're required to love that family, but your friends, you chose them. You chose your friends, and guess what? You have to work at keeping those friendships going. You have to invest to keep those friendships alive. She's sitting here, so I'm going to pick on her for a little bit. That's my wife. And no, you may not ever pick on my wife. I can. My wife, one of her closest friends here in America, they were at a teaching service once at the church we were formerly from. And this lady named Melissa just looked at Amy and said, she looks like she would be cool. I want her to be my friend. Came up and introduced herself to Amy, pulled Amy to the back row, because my wife always sits on the front row, pulled her to the back with Alyssa's husband, and they became friends. You see, you choose your friends. You choose to invest into their lives and to have those friendships. The same thing, and no, this is not a sermon on marriage, but the same thing in your marriage life. You invest into your spouse. You do the little things to keep that love and that friendship alive. When you don't do those little things, that's when people start to drift apart. That's when those things of, wow, she used to always watch this with me, or he used to always buy me fresh flowers. See, it's not just kaboom, something happens. It's the little things that start to pull people apart. And you invest again your time because you want a friendship, you want a relationship, and you're sacrificing with that. And again, my wife knows this about me. I am 100% man on this. I hate to shop. It doesn't matter what it is. Groceries, clothing. I hate to shop. Amen. Look, if it's groceries, I'm going to park by the Harris Teeter. I know I'm going to the meat department. I'm going to get some cereal, need milk. We need cleaning stuff. Amy needs vegetables. Boom, 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 done. I'm out in 5 minutes, baby. If it's closed, I know the places in the mall to park so I don't have to deal with mall people. Okay, I don't care that you've got a great sale in Clinique going on. I'm going to American Eagle to buy my jeans that I always wear, and then I'm going out. Done. However, I know my wife loves to shop. She likes to do this thing, and I'm sure a lot of the ladies in here are probably going to amen this, called browsing. My wife loves to browse. God bless her. We went shopping yesterday, and she goes, baby, can we start on this aisle? And inside my soul, I'm going, no, I know the things we need to buy and we need to go. I'm like, yes, dear. And up and down every aisle, up and down every aisle we went. I'm watching her pick up bags of grapes, and I'm going, there's only one person in our family that eats grapes, and that's my son. Just buy a bag of grapes. For the love. But that's investing in her and my relationship. That's giving her the time. The other thing too, I don't dress me like this. She does. Last night she said about 7 o'clock as I'm trying to watch whatever game's on, she goes, do you know what you're wearing tomorrow? And I said, kind of. Which shoes? My black ones? Which jeans? My dark ones? Have you got a shirt? No. She goes, I'll have a couple for you upstairs when you come up. She dressed me. She knows what she likes. And I appreciate that because, again, that's her time investment to this relationship. And again, it's not always about marriage. Your friends, some of y'all may love to golf. I hate to golf. I have a very good friend of mine. He used to love to golf. And so you know what? We would trudge through because I knew it was an investment into him about doing golf. Along those same lines, you may find this hard to believe. I do not like rom-coms. Wow, I did not expect that one to go over so quiet. Maybe some folks in here are scared to admit that, but that's okay. I don't. I would not choose to watch P.S. I Love You, Love Actually, all three of the Bridget Joneses. There are three of those. I know now. Or, and the only time in our marriage life or friendship I've ever put my foot down on my wife and I said, I'm not watching that sequel. There's a sequel to Mamma Mia. Yes, I watched the first one. The second one came out this summer. Believe me, I know. I said, sweetie, I will pay for you and your family to go see it. I have my limits. Mamma Mia 2, nope. I love you, but. I do love you, but no buts. But she knew that about me. That's an investment. The other side of it, though, my wife had never seen a Star Wars movie. Not one. She is from South Africa, but she had never seen a Star Wars movie. She's now seen 7 of the 8 of them. My wife also did not know about the Marvel movies. She hadn't seen the Avengers. She's now seen the Avengers. She was there opening night for Infinity War. Also, she had never seen a college football game. She's been to 3 of them now. See, it's give and take. You invest, you give your time up to invest, to let people into your world for relationship and for friendship. It's an investment. It takes time. Also, and I know we have a lot of coffee drinkers here. Until we got married, when Amy and I were dating, she likes black coffee. Nothing else. When we were dating, and she would say, hey, can I make you coffee? Yeah, sure. She would give me black coffee, and I would drink it and smile, and she'd be like, isn't this wonderful? Yeah. Then we got married, and she saw me making my own coffee, and she starts like, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you put creamer in there. Yeah. I love you. I invested in our time together. It was worth it. It was worth the sacrifice. You see, that's what friendship's about. You invest in those folks. If you're married, you'll agree with this. If you're not, if you're single, then just write this on the X of your heart. Be friends first before a physical attraction. This may be shocking, but guess what? You're all going to get older in here, and those looks are going to fade. If all you have is a physical attraction, it's someday you're going to look across, and they're going to look across and going to say, who are you? You've got to have those foundational pieces of friendship, because that's where relationships happen. You know, statistically, they say if you've been friends with someone for 7 years, that'll be a lifelong friend. Let me say that again. If you've been friends with somebody for 7 years, that is a lifelong friendship. This is also for free. In this profession, whether it's Pastor Craig, Bill, or myself, if there's someone we're talking with that's going through marital issues, I'd say 7 out of 10 times it's the 7th year of marriage. They did a movie years ago called The 7-Year Itch. By 7 years, you know that person intimately and completely. There's nothing that they can do outside of them just hiding something terrible that'll shock you. The allure is gone unless you keep investing to keep it alive and you have those friendships available that last longer than what the lovely people at Revlon and Clinique can keep going. Just keeping it real. So with that, because every friendship is give and take, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about unhealthy relationships. How many of y'all in here have ever been in an unhealthy friendship or relationship? Those are painful. Those hurt. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. These are the words of Solomon through the Holy Spirit. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. I want to read that again so everybody catches what the Holy Spirit is saying here. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. See, God's warning all of us with that. You see, you can be the nicest, greatest human being, but if you're seen with the wrong crowd, if you're mixed in with them, guess what? That just became, you're part of that. You're part of that. God's warning us with our friends, take heed, don't even be known with those folks. Okay, I'm not trying to make this an us and them, but those are God's warnings to us. How many times have we seen a group of people and you go, wow, that's rough. You see, I had times in my life where I had people actually warning me to be careful of who I was even using as roommates. I actually had someone once tell me, Judd, I would rather you live in your own car than to be person X's roommate. That's a tough lesson, but it's true, because when you get in that group, they will pull you down. That's not me speaking a curse over you. You get in those groups where people are doing something that's wrong, that they're always angry, it will pull you down, and you get counted in on it. There's another place in Proverbs that says, even a young lad's actions will be known by the company he keeps. You see, those type of things people know. I mean, it's crazy to think how people want to gravitate toward that. You'll meet the person in your life that they're always attracted to, the bad boy, the bad girl. 9 out of 10 times that didn't work out. That person leaves broken and hurt. that person leaves destroyed. You have to be very careful. And having these deep, lifelong, close friends that can love you and say, what's going on? What are you doing here? Can help you avoid those things. Before I was in children's ministry years ago, I was actually in youth ministry. And look, if the hand of God, because God bless our youth pastor, I said this in 8:30, I'll say it again next service too. God bless Pastor Bill, love what he does. But if the hand of God were to write on there right now, Judd, do youth ministry moving forward, I would say, let me go home and pray about that. It's a tough, difficult call. Always keep him in prayer. With that, when I was in youth ministry, we had a young man that was a little older than everybody else. He was getting ready to turn 16, and he was desperate to be friends with the cool kids at the school we were ministering at. Desperate. And we would keep saying, buddy, why? Why do you want to walk that path, man? It's not going to end up well for you. Why do you want to walk that path? But he was desperate to be accepted, to be liked by them. And then his parents made the worst decision they ever could. They bought him a car. So here he was, the oldest in that little group of people. And baby, he had wheels. Well, some of those guys that he was just desperate to like him, to be friends with, that he so wanted to be counted in. One evening on a Friday night, they called him up and said, hey, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything. Hey, come pick us up. So he drove and he picked them up. Just speed the story along a little bit for time and just for good measure. They were driving and they ended up stopping at four different filling stations. The three of them would say, let us run in, we'll come right out. Let us run in, we'll come right out. Four different places. They're driving after the fourth place. Blue lights come on behind his vehicle. He pulls over. Police get out. His three great friends, one of them had a gun. Those four gas stations, they had committed four armed robberies. Police didn't take real long to figure out he wasn't the sharpest knife in the toolbox. So he couldn't have masterminded that one. We wrote letters for character and all that stuff. He still got 10 years in prison for making a terrible decision about who he chose to hang with. You're known by your friends. You are known by them. The common vernacular says birds of a feather flock together. The church Amy and I came from previously, I loved one of the pastor's wives, and one of the things she said, she saw her daughter one night going out, go with a group of friends. Her daughter's coming down the stairs. She looked up and she said, whoa, wait. She said, sweetheart, the bait you're putting out, what you would catch, we wouldn't let behind these front doors. I might say, man, that's mean, that's rough. No. You're putting out something, and there's a reason that people are attracted to it. I'd encourage all of us, know what bait we're putting out. Know what we're attracting. If there's bad friendships that are pulling us down, that are hurting us, Gesundheit, don't be afraid to walk away from them. So don't ever want to leave us on a bad note. I want to leave us always on a good note, because God is good and he always does what's right. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's a call from God for great friendships, to have people in our lives that can speak truth to us. See, God wants us to have those people in our lives that are able to speak that into our lives and want the best for us. Again, my friendship with Michael Wiggins, 21 years, there have been times when both of us have had to say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Not in a lording it over the other one, but in a sense of, we want the best for one another. We need, God created us to have those relationships, my friends, to speak into our lives, to call us out, to want the best for us, to also celebrate when that's awesome. You're great, great decision. but also have that place to say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I love you, but that's wrong. That's not good. What are you thinking? Again, we finished at the movies not long ago, and there's a movie out there called About a Boy. It's got Hugh Grant in it, and he is the quintessential bachelor, and he starts the movie off saying, no man is an island but me. He didn't want anything out of anybody but what he could get from them. And through course of events in that movie, a preteen boy just makes a decision of, you're going to be my friend. Even though Hugh's character wants nothing to do with that friendship. And it's kind of funny if you watch the movie, because the kid just keeps coming over to his house and ringing the doorbell, and he won't stop ringing the doorbell until Hugh opens the door and just lets him in so they can watch this game show called Countdown. So every day, gets in the middle of the movie, he just starts opening the door. Just, he's tired of it, whatever, this kid's gonna watch this. And he starts investing into the life of this child. And from investing in the life of this child, he meets people that actually want the best for him. And at the end of the movie, it's at Christmas time, he's sitting there, and he's got a stable girlfriend, which through the whole movie, he hasn't had. He's got people that care for him, and he says, at the end of the movie, again, it's the narration part, he goes, no man is an island, but men can be island chains. And it shows him with all these connections. There's no Rambos in God's kingdom, my friends. There's not. God's called us into friendship and relationship. If you're not in a small group, I would love for you to get involved in a small group. It's the lifeblood of this church. If you are in a small group, keep attending it. Keep loving those folks. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. If you are doing all that and God's created you, which he has created you, who is it that you're friends with? Who is it God has called you to reach out to that no one else can reach out to? Is it your neighbor? Is it your family members? Maybe as they get ready to come to Thanksgiving. Who is it that God's created you to be a friend to? I'd like to pray for us. Have everyone bow their heads, please. Father God, thank you that you didn't just create us, dump us on this planet and say, good luck. I hope it works out. God, one of your promises is, they will be my people and I will be their God. You've always been a God of friendship and relationship. Holy Spirit, through you, we have the opportunity to be a friend of the creator of the heavens and the universe. Father God, I pray for my friends sitting here or watching right now at home. Father, don't let them be lonely. Father, let today be the day that they reach out, that they become a friend if they need a friend. And Father, if they know people that need friends, that they reach out to them. Father God, this church values relationships. Father, that first person to have a relationship with is you. So in this moment, in this time, if you're sitting here and you're going, everything you said was cool and great, but I don't have a relationship with my Creator, we don't want you to leave this place without that relationship. If you haven't done that, would you just stick your hands up? The only eyes that are open are mine. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, your friend, would you just put your hand up really quickly? We just want to pray with you. You don't want to leave this place and not have that friendship that is eternal. I see that hand. Anybody else? Okay, I promised I wouldn't embarrass you, and I'm not going to. So we're all going to pray together. And I want everyone in this room to pray after me. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to be my friend. Lord Jesus, I admit that I have sinned. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I thank you for doing that. I love you, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Guys, let's give the Lord a big hand clap. There is nothing more important than that hand that went up. The Bible actually says the angels in heaven rejoice at that. So my friends, may you go out and make lifelong friends and have a wonderful day.